Good morning. You know, before I understood the cross, I loved Jesus because I was supposed to. You get that? After I heard about the cross, I needed Jesus because I loved him. Just follow with me. Just listen. I'm going to read out of the Message Bible about our great Father and Son, Jesus Christ. Then Jesus told them, "Before the night's over, you're going to fall to pieces because of what happens to me. There's a scripture that says, 'I'll strike the shepherd, helter-skelter the sheep will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I, your shepherd, will go ahead of you, leading the way to Galilee.'" Peter broke in, "Even if everyone else fails and falls to pieces on account of you, I won't." "Don't be so sure," Jesus said. "This very night before the rooster crows up at the dawn, you will deny me 3 times. Peter protested, "Even if I had to die with you, I would never deny you." All the others said the same thing. Then Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane and told his disciples, "Stay here while I go over there and pray." Taking along Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, he plunged into agonizing sorrow. Then he said, "This sorrow is crushing my life out. Stay here and keep vigil with me." Going a little ahead, he fell face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if there is any way, get me out of this. But please, not what I want. You, what do you want?" When he came back to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Can't you stick it out with me for at least an hour? Stay alert. Be in prayer so you don't wander into temptation without even knowing what the danger is. There is a part of you that is eager, ready for anything God asks you to do. But there's another part, as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire." He then left them a second time. Again he prayed, "My Father, if there is no way that this way than this, drinking this cup to the dregs, I'm ready. Do it your way." When he came back, he again found them sleeping and simply couldn't keep their eyes open. When he came back the third time, "Are you going to sleep and make a night of it? My time is up. The Son of Man is about to be handed over to the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's get going. My betrayer is here." The high priest, conspiring with the Jewish council, tried to cook up charges against Jesus to sentence him to death. But even though many stepped up, making one false accusation after another, nothing was believable. He said, "I can tear down this temple of God and after 3 days rebuild it." The chief priest stood up and said, "What do you have to say to that accusation?" Jesus kept silent. Then the chief priest said, "I command you by the authority of the living God to say if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus was curt. "You yourself said it." "And that's not all. Soon you'll see it for yourself. The Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Mighty One, arriving on the clouds of heaven." At this, the chief priest lost his temper, ripping his robes, yelling, "He blasphemed. Why do we need witnesses to accuse him? You all heard the blaspheme. And you're going to stand by such blasphemy? Death." That seals his death sentence. Jesus was placed before the governor, who questioned him. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said. "If you say so." But when his accusations rained down hot and heavy from the high priest and religious leaders, he said nothing. Pilate asked him, "Do you hear a long list of accusations? Aren't you going to say anything?" Jesus kept silent, not a word from his mouth. The governor was impressed, very impressed. It was an old custom during the feast for the governor to pardon a single prisoner named by the crowd. At that time, they had an infamous Barabbas in prison. With the crowd before him, Pilate said, "Which prisoner do you want me to pardon, Barabbas or Jesus, the so-called Christ?" He knew it was through sheer spite that they turned Jesus over to him. While court was still in session, Pilate's wife said to him, "Don't get mixed up with judging this noble man. I've just been through a long and troubled night because of a dream about him." Meanwhile, the high priest and religious leaders had talked the crowd into asking to pardon Barabbas and the execution of Jesus. "Then what do I do with Jesus, this so-called Christ?" they all shouted. "Crucify him! Nail him to a cross!" He objected. "But what for what crime?" But they yelled even louder, "Crucify him!" Then Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere and that a riot was imminent. He took a basin of water, washed his hands in full sight of the crowd, saying, "I'm washing my hands of responsibility for this man's death. From now on, it's in your hands. You're a judge and you're a jury." The crowd answered, "We'll take the blame, we and our children and all those who are far off." Pilate knew by this time that it was through sheer spite that the high priest had turned Jesus over to him. The soldiers took Jesus into the governor's palace and got the entire brigade together to have some fun. They stripped him naked, dressed him in a red toga. They forced a crown of branches of a thorn bush onto his head. They put a stick in his right hand for a scepter. Then they knelt before him in a mocking reverence. "Bravo, King of Jews," they said. "Bravo." Then they spit on him again and again. They hit him in the head with the stick again and again. When they had had their fun, they tore off the toga and put his own clothes back on him. Then they proceeded out to the crucifixion. Along the way, they came to a man from Cyrene named Simon and made him carry Jesus' cross. Arriving at Golgotha, they offered him a mild painkiller, a mixture of wine and myrrh. But when he tasted it, he wouldn't drink it. After they had finished nailing him to the cross and were waiting for him to die, they whiled away the time by throwing dice for his clothes. Above his head, they posted a criminal charge against him. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Along with him, they also crucified two criminals, one on his right and one on his left. People passing along the road jeered, shaking their heads in mock lament. "You bragged that you could tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. So show us your stuff. Save yourself. If you're really God's son, come on down from that cross." The high priest, along with the religious scholars and leaders, were right there mixing it up with the rest of them, having a great time poking fun at Jesus. "He saved others. He can't save himself, the King of Israel. The King of Israel, is he? Then let him get down from that cross. We'll all become believers then." He was so sure of God. "Well, let him rescue his son now if he wants him." He did claim to be God's son, didn't he? Even the two criminals crucified next to him joined in the mockery. From noon to 3, the whole earth was dark. At 3 o'clock, Jesus groaned out of the depths, crying loudly, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Some of the bystanders who heard him said, listen, he's calling for Elijah." Someone ran off, soaked a sponge in wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. The others joked, "Don't be in such a hurry. Let's see if Elijah comes and saves him." But then Jesus, with a loud cry, gave his last breath. The captain of the guard and those with him, when they saw the earthquake and everything that was happening, they were scared to death. They said, "This has to be the Son of God." Let's pray. You are an incredible Father. You loved each one of us first. And we need you because we love you and we understand what you've done. And this time of communion is to remember the sacrifice, the challenge, the anguish that you stood firm and did your Father's will. God, we can't imagine what it would be like to witness your only son going through what he went through. But the joy and the absolute glee when he came down from the cross and when he raised from the grave. You had it planned all along. You stole death from Satan. You gave us a Holy Spirit, God, to lead us, to guide us. And you gave us an everlasting Son, Jesus Christ, and his example. As we take the bread, let's remember his life, his sacrifice, his commitment and convictions to do whatever it is that God had asked him to do. And as we drink the juice that represents his blood, the blood he shed on that day on the cross for you and for me, so that we would have an opportunity to be with him and God one day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.